For optimum enjoyment, please play the show at full volume. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Okay, people, welcome to the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Hey now.
Rocking out here. Rob was right. Let's turn this up, man.
Yeah.
It's old Replacements music, but this is their first album from 81 to replace. Sorry, Ma, forgot to take out the trash. Read a whole book about these guys. Pretty good.
Paul and Tommy and...
Yeah, it's a good book.
The whole crew.
Yeah, it's called All Over But the Shouting by a guy named Jim Walsh. It was pretty cool. Replacements. All right, welcome back to the show. It's Corey and Joel with you today.
Midwestern rock and roll at its finest.
Minneapolis. There we go. A little more of this, and then we're... There it is. The little Replacements for you. Go pick that up. They're reissuing those in a couple months.
Oh, really?
They're reissuing them, adding additional tracks, studio outtakes, that kind of stuff.
Starting the show off with a Toffee Fae.
Go ahead. That's a good way to start. Have a Toffee. If you're at home and you have a Toffee Fae, go get a Toffee Fae.
Toffee Fae, it's too good for kids.
Toffee Fae, it's too good for kids.
Blow me, children.
But you're no kid.
I got a Toffee Fae.
You're a balding middle-aged man, so you enjoy your Toffee Fae.
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we are. Oh, man. I hope everybody enjoyed last week's show. We did our Oscar picks.
Tremendous show.
Katie Jean sat in with us.
Yeah.
Hope you all loved her.
You should. Because, honestly, she's the best-looking chick we've ever had.
Oh, please.
Like, legitimately. I mean, now, we've, in the past, had to, you know, do jobs of... you know, well...
No.
Hey, Stephanie is very, very attractive. Your roommate?
Yeah.
Stephanie's gorgeous. But in the past, we've done some salesman jobs, is what I'm saying.
Oh, stop it.
We, you know, look.
Who did we really trump up as being that attractive that wasn't?
All of them. And
we've had both of our girlfriends on here. I've had two girlfriends on here.
Yeah, but them we don't hype up.
They get no boost. Right. Girls that actually fuck us get no boost.
No.
But who did we say was hot? Like the girls from Show 22 or something?
And then you know who we've had.
No,
on.
I don't even. I mean, look.
Normally you parade some.
I'm not saying we've had nothing but bathing beauties on this show, but you know, I mean,
look, normally
we haven't had too many pigs in here.
Normally we parade in some sweaty barn skank and try to tell everybody how hot she is.
See, I disagree with that.
Well, Katie, you could actually
just saying
squeeze
this,
one off
okay,
to pretty easily.
Look, you're right that Katie Jean was an attractive girl. She's a hot chick, but that doesn't mean the other chicks we've had in there suck. I mean, they're not.
Well, all right, I'm fine. I'll back off.
No. You're just saying that.
The point is made.
You're just saying that because you have a girlfriend and you don't want to get in trouble or whatever.
She doesn't even know. She didn't even listen to the show.
Okay.
I have been instructed I'm not to have unsupervised contact.
Well, I'm supervising.
Right.
That's all right. If
you're supervising. Exactly.
If it'll help you out, just tell Amy that I'm dating Katie Jean. And then she won't think anything.
Well, that's a good cover
story. She won't think anything's the wiser.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
She'll buy that one hook, line, and sinker.
Why? What's wrong with that notion?
That's fine.
Whatever.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, we're back. We did our Oscar picks. We have an interesting result, which we'll get to in a minute.
Katie was good, though. We'll have her back sometime.
Yeah, she was
soon.
Good. She was all right. So anyway, let's...
If she had... done worse on the quiz, we were going to come in and give her punishment.
We were going to see how we did on it, and it's interesting how that played out. Now, should we do the Oscars were on the other night, and Corey and I both watched them, and it was not as eventful a show as Oscars passed. Let's just say that.
Joel's going to, the next half hour of the show, if you are offended by comedy about gays, just turn it off, because Joel's just going to call me a homo for about a half hour here.
In what way?
We had an Oscar party.
Well, that is a little
my great. Girlfriend and I. And we had a little wine and cheese and a little veggie tray.
Yeah.
Invited some friends over to watch the Oscars. Because you know what? Look, I look at it this way. I'm going to watch the Oscars anyway. I might as well bring some, you know, involve some people, make it a little party.
Because
you had to watch it by yourself with a notebook.
I did sit here
and that's a lot. That's a pain
now.
In the ass, isn't it?
It is, but you know what? It's possible that, you know, having this show, I felt like I needed to make notes if I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because it's such a long show that you'll forget the beginning by the time it's over, for one. And plus, I have to do a show. Otherwise, I don't even know that I would have watched this Oscars if I wasn't doing it for the show this year.
Yeah.
I didn't. I mean, I like to look at the hot chicks, but we'll get to that in a minute. Why, you know, that was
a
disappointment.
Yeah, I've never watched the Oscars.
I know what you mean.
Professionally, I think I'm sort of expected to watch the Oscars.
Well, yeah, but.
And people ask me about
the
Oscars.
Well, I have a film degree. I went to, you know, I study the movies. I need to know who
wins. You're a movie dork,
and who doesn't. So.
But you feel like you have to kind of obligatorily right. watch the Oscars. But boy, every year, and you go, oh, it's the Oscars, and then every year at about hour 2:05, you start to go, oh, for Christ's sakes, would you end this thing?
Well, you know, for me, it wasn't. In the past, there's always been something unexpected that happened, or somebody said something that was controversial, or somebody, you know, there was a thing where Michael Moore got booed, and people had different takes on that.
Sure.
There were, you know, different, remember the retard guy that won the documentary, and he fell out of his chair, and was spazzing around, like, that was good. There's always
remember
weird
when Roberto
stuff.
Benigni jumped over?
Exactly, there's always stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
But none of that happened this year.
Nobody even, like, you know, remember that year Gina Davis had the dress
you could see through.
You could, like, see her, internal organs. It was unbelievably sheer.
And sometimes something will happen with the host. You know, the Letterman year was exciting for everybody. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Billy Crystal used to do his little parodies, and those were cute. And
yeah.
I'll tell you, I mean, and nothing against Jon Stewart, but, I mean, you miss nothing from him. Like, he's funnier on our average Daily Show than he was. I was like, not that he was that bad.
You know,
was,
he wasn't bad, but wasn't you're bad. Right. He wasn't outstanding.
I mean, look.
Billy Crystal drives me nuts.
I know what you mean, but people liked him on that show because he put himself out there. He'd sing and dance and stuff, and people enjoyed
that. The less singing. You know what? There was a limited amount of singing and dancing on this one.
No, there was, and that was good.
And that was good.
You know, I liked when Steve Martin did it, but, you know, I don't know. Maybe he can't be bothered to do that again.
Steve Martin was okay.
Yeah. So
I really did like Letterman, and no one else did.
Yeah. Well, so. You know, whatever. Anyway,
is Conan hosted the Oscars?
I don't know. I think he hosted the Grammys.
Oh.
Or the Emmys, I think.
Oh, the Emmys.
I don't know. The Oscars is a weird thing. They only let certain. Normally, whoever, like, it used to be it used to be Bob Hope, and then it was Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Like, for years. And then they got to a point where.
Well, they showed a montage, and, like, Chevy Chase apparently hosted one
year. Yeah, Chevy Chase did.
I don't remember that.
And, you know, there is a list. I think we actually talked about it on the show once before, about who actually hosted the Oscars and who didn't. We did a quiz. Remember I quizzed you on that?
Oh, last year we did.
Yeah, and it was interesting who did it. Like, they let Jane Fonda do it one year, so something weird like that. But
well,
it should be, this is my feeling on this, this should be the de facto job of whoever the late night king is. That should be his job. For whatever reason, they don't want to let Leno do it.
Because it would be horrible.
I guess they don't feel that. A couple of things working against Leno. Number one, everyone likes Letterman more than Leno.
Right.
And two is ABC has the Oscars, which I don't think has always been the case.
And they're not going to put Kimmel on there.
And they're not. And Kimmel's not ready to do it or whatever. And whatever, they're thinking about it. So they pretty much get stuck with. They had to get Jon Stewart from cable, or they get Billy Crystal, or someone from the movies. And
I had no problem with Jon Stewart as a host. He was likable.
No, I didn't either. He was fine.
You're right. He wasn't spectacular.
You didn't miss any great zingers or anything. It's like okay. It wasn't must see TV.
I liked he had one bit where he was like talking about the election. He's like, and so now it's time for Hollywood to examine the candidates and make the decision of which Democrat you're going to vote for.
He got booed for that a little bit.
I kind of like that joke.
No, but his best joke was, he said Oscar is 80, and so he's now the Republican candidate
right.
for president, which,
right.
you know, that was a good joke. But, you know.
You know, Jon Stewart's kind of good in little riffs off the cuff.
He was fine. I mean, like, he wasn't bad. He wasn't, but he
but
didn't.
It, no, it wasn't like,
it
oh,
wasn't
my
like,
God,
if you miss
here's Jon Stewart,
you won't believe what Jon Stewart's. I mean, those are two jokes we can remember.
Well, remember
and
Chris
that,
Rock was, like, very controversial.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Those guys, I mean, some of those guys. I'm surprised Seinfeld's never. Maybe Seinfeld's been offered it, but he won't do it.
Yeah, you're right. That's
I'm kind of surprised that Seinfeld never did it, but, you know.
How about Tom Dreesen? He'd be good.
Tom Dreesen would be great.
He's terrific, that Tom Dreesen.
Tom Snyder never did it.
No.
He's not going to do it now.
Not going to work now.
Yeah. But anyway, let me get to.
How about Fred Travellina?
I don't know what he's doing. He might be busy.
How about Frank Caliendo? That way you could have a variety of hosts. Each commercial break, he could come back.
That's a very
that guy's a shaman. He's just channeling the spirits.
All right. Well, should I do? Should we do our picks first and then get into like my review of the show, or how do you want to do this? Because we might end up just blowing it, and who picked who if I try to save this. Maybe we should do it up front. You decide. You know the results because we did this all on the phone last night.
But, yeah, I know. I don't know what the best way to do this is.
Well, I'll tell you what happened. So the show starts out, and immediately, I'm watching the show on the TiVo. So I'm watching it. I had to watch Big Brother last night on CBS, which started at 8. Yeah. So by the time I got to the Oscars, it was like 9:30 because I watched Regis's pre-show, which we'll get to. I'll get to that.
Why don't we start with the pre-show?
You want to start with the pre-show,
and then we'll get to the awards. Okay. Let's go.
All right, so I'm watching Regis does the pre-show. Now, the pre-show on ABC had been hosted by Lisa Gibbons and all these other people in the past. Mm-hmm. So it's him.
Remember the year Gina Davis did it and it was a disaster?
Yeah. Well, she's not an interviewer. She doesn't know what she's doing. Neither
That's
is
the thing. You can't put Hollywood people because they'll just suck each other off.
Well,
and it'll be bad.
Regis, nobody sucks better dick than Regis, though. This guy's the worst, and I've said it on the show. People, you're always entertained by how much I hate Regis.
Ah!
The guy's a relic from another time. He's a terrible interviewer. He doesn't care about these people. He just acts. He asks a couple questions. Doesn't listen to the answers, and then tries to yell and scream and be all right. He's stupid. He's horrible. I hate Regis.
It's not funny. In fact, it's pretty freaking unfunny.
Yeah, so Regis is on there.
He's so old.
He's so old.
He doesn't know what he's talking
but,
about.
I mean, he's a relic. He's a guy that I'm sure was great. But if you ever tried to watch 50s TV, like Jack Parr or something, I'm sure you'd be bored out of your fucking skull. Because it's a different pace. It's a different...
funny you should mention that, because they got this thing on 56 on public TV and PBS called Pioneers of Television.
Yeah.
And I've watched all of them, and they make me cry.
Right. We watched
time.
The game show one together, right. And it was terrible.
I like old TV footage.
Right.
It's fun for me. But, boy, they put this announcer on there. The guy from Frontline is more exciting.
Yeah.
These are the pioneers of television. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're already asleep. And then you're watching, and you're like, you can see 2 seconds of Regis and Joey Bishop.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
And then they move on, and they talk about how Merv Griffin is the greatest genius of all time.
Well, that's what I think. I think if you tried watching these shows, that's why they don't show these things raw, uncut anymore.
Right.
Because they're very boring to a contemporary audience. I think that the pace of television is a lot faster. The hosts are generally better. Not that we have great hosts, but
it's like primitive. We were watching the pioneers of television. It was variety shows.
Yeah.
And they were talking about Red Skelton.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, why did people think that was funny?
I don't know.
Here he is as a hobo.
Well,
like his characters are the broadest, stupidest, most ridiculous things. And people just thought that was hilarious.
But I just feel that Regis is just a relic of that era.
Yeah.
And he doesn't work in contemporary television.
No.
And since he has a show that live with Regis and Kelly where he doesn't have to do anything, it's not obvious that he's talentless. But when he did that, I'll tell you what was the greatest example was when he did America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
He did the first season of that, and
terrible.
He was horribly lost. He couldn't think on his feet.
No.
He was confused. He didn't know what the acts were. He clearly didn't prepare for it. He was just awful, just terrible top
wretched.
To bottom. And it was a big deal that they landed him and everything.
He's not even good on that show where he's got 15 producers up his ass.
Yeah.
Because I watched about a week or two ago, and he had Martin Lawrence on. He goes, Martin is in this new movie, Welcome Home, Rasko Jennings.
Yeah. He's reading it off a card. And
right, and then Martin's like, it's Rasko Jenkins, but thank you.
Yeah.
Like, Martin Lawrence has to correct you.
He does no prep.
No.
He's just terrible.
And then this morning, it was Scott Baio and his baby.
Okay.
That was what they had on there.
So Regis is awful, so I'm not even going to dump on Regis anymore. So this pre-show, you know, the only thoughts I really, here's a couple thoughts that I had, just writing down. We'll get into the hot chicks, but, and I guess I'm going to say, well, I should add, I made a list of hot chicks.
Did you?
My all-time list, and just of like who were the hottest chicks on the whole show, and there's no point in even doing it because there were so few chicks that I thought were outstanding. Right. Like Clooney's bitch was hot as fuck. I don't even know who that is. Sarah something. Do you know what she does?
Who was Clooney's
George
bitch?
Clooney's date. Her name's Sarah something.
I didn't really see much of the pre-show,
but she was sitting with Clooney, and god damn it, is she fucking hot? And I guess if you're Clooney,
well, you get top show.
You deserve the hottest.
You
chick.
Get the best.
You deserve that. But see, I don't even know that she counts because she wasn't on stage, and she's not really a. I don't know what your name is, but Clooney's bitch, fucking hot, okay? the chick that ultimately won for Best Actress, Marion Cotillard. What's her name?
Marion Cotillard.
Cotillard.
Yeah.
She's pretty fucking hot. She was out on the red carpet, and she's like speaking no English. You know, she talks like my grandmother. You know, I thought, what do you want? We want some pasta. Jordan, you come over. You come eat the meatball. That's how she sounds. That's what my grandma sounded like. And that's what Marie Cotillard
sounded
like.
She was very
like.
French. She couldn't be more French.
She's French, yeah. I may give her an Italian, but you wouldn't know the goddamn difference with this chick trying to
speak
English.
She was like, what would she say? Like, hooray for life.
Yeah.
Hooray for love.
Yeah. So when she won her award. But I did find, if you go on Fleshbot, fleshbot.com today, there's really? All kinds of, there's somebody did a compilation video of all her nude scenes from all her French movies. So if you want to see her naked, she's hot. Marion Cotillard is hot. And she at one point said, actresses. There's so many great actresses in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Like, shut up.
Are there, now, is that differentiating white actresses from black actresses?
Actresses.
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 I don't know. How do you do that? Is that Latinas? What is that?
I don't know. John Travolta, very odd looking. He looked okay on stage in the Oscars, but in the pre-show, you got a real good close-up of, like, his face and his hair and his hair's. You know, it looks like Travolta wears a rug or something, but his hair was real short, and it looked almost like painted on or something. It was very odd. He looks like he's had a lot of Botox.
Yeah, he's an odd-looking dude.
Kelly Preston's not holding up so well either. Kelly Preston used to be hot, not so much anymore. Laura Linney's still good.
Laura Linney is good stuff.
Still good, but starting to show some age, but it's okay.
Yeah, but for
it's
her,
still good.
For, but
it's still good.
Look, you know how they say, like, Floyd Mayweather's the best fighter pound for
pound? Yeah.
Laura Linney, for her age, is holding up really well.
But she's still good. I mean,
she's only in her 40s.
Look, put her next to Scarlett Johansson, and, you know, it's obvious who wins and who loses. But
yeah.
She's good for what she is.
I would hit Laura Linney absolutely. Eight ways to Sunday. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just going to read this one verbatim because it was funny. I wrote, Miley Cyrus, fix your goddamn teeth.
Yeah, it's horrible.
She's got summer teeth. Some are this way, some are that way. It's terrible.
Which reminds me of...
She's got $1 billion.
A girl named Summer we knew who had a similar
summer
condition.
Teeth, yeah. And how do you have jacked up teeth?
She's got Kentucky teeth.
She's not even like
that's good old fashioned hillbilly.
But her
eugenics.
Dad is like a multimillionaire.
I know.
So I mean, how do you end up with bad teeth?
By the way, for those of you out there who still go to church and believe there's a God,
yeah,
that family is worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, off of one goddamn song and a Disney show.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. There's no Lord above that allows hilljacks like that to make fortunes.
Well, you know, Billy Ray Cyrus had a great strategy, though, after he had his one hit. He goes, look, I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
Give me any piece
that show where he was a doctor.
What's the thing? Give me any piece of crap role you got. I don't give a fuck. I'll do it. And now he's famous for, like, doing these you know what I mean? Like, it's just like one crappy role led to the next one, and then he got his daughter on this Disney show where he's on it, too. I guess he plays her dad on that. And I tried watching it once. It was
brilliant
a horrible
strategy.
Show. Yeah. But he doesn't care. He's a whore. He's
maybe Billy
money.
Ray is much smarter than I will ever
know. You know what?
Know.
Good for him. If that's what I mean? If he's willing to be a douche and have guys like me and you make fun of him, all the more power to you.
Billy Ray Cyrus, I could beat in any fucking, trivia challenge ever. Yet his accountants have accountants.
Well, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
A trivia channel. I mean, you're smarter than him. Is that
I'm
you
just, yeah. I mean,
oh, okay.
I mean, he's got barely an eighth grade education.
Yeah,
I laugh at him as adult. Yet he's got so he sleeps on piles of money.
Well, he had
like
the
Scrooge McFucking Duck.
He did the history of the hillbilly or Hillbilly and American Story on the History Channel. Daniel Day-Lewis had two hoop earrings in his ears, which I don't get at all.
That looked ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like, why do you got to do that, dude? I mean,
he looked very faggy.
Yeah, and it's like, he's a good actor and stuff, but it's like, what's with the hoop earrings? I didn't get that at all.
Well, he had really long hair a couple weeks ago, and then he got it cut or something.
But it was still kind of long.
And it was semi-long, but it looked
like
really
a mullet,
gay.
A greasy mullet.
It looked like a bad tranny.
Yeah, I don't know what he was up to. Cameron Diaz looked tough, but that's been the case for a long time. I got to bring that up at the end. Well, maybe I'll get to it in a minute. Now, during the pre-show, I wrote down Tilda Swinton was ugly, but she gave it, like, she's hotter when she talks.
Really?
For whatever reason, yeah, that helps her a little bit because she looks very
odd.
That
hair is looking, she's pale and had very dyed red hair.
Yeah, but she's been naked in some movies and she looks good naked. At least she did in these movies. But these were back 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
She's not someone you'd go, oh my God, she's hot, but she's a lovely woman. She's a handsome woman.
Okay. Then I guess we're into the proper show. Well, actually, this is probably the last note I had from the pre-show, but and I'm going to read it verbatim again. I wrote, Hillary Swank is a man. I wrote that down, which might be true.
Oh.
She's very weird and odd looking and horse facey.
Yeah,
she's
awful.
She's got giant scapulas and like giant shoulder muscles, and she wears these strapless dresses. Well, and it's like, oh, geez. And she's tall, and it's a mess.
Before we get into the show proper, there was one thing that was even before the pre-show.
Okay.
Which was even more train wreck television.
What was that?
That was the Barbara Walters special.
Okay, we can get into that if you want.
Now, one of her guests was Harrison Ford.
Yeah, which I watched two of the interviews.
Who's a horrible TV
That
interview.
Was one of them. He was fine on
he
that.
He doesn't give you much.
Yeah, he was fine on that.
I don't know.
I didn't expect much and I didn't get much, but it was okay.
Everybody sits on Harrison Ford's every word like the sweat of the llama. You know, the holy llama is dripping sweat on them. It's going to cure their tears. And Harrison Ford's like, well, yeah. We had fun making it.
Well, I didn't. I'm not dumping on him for that. But he is a dull. He's a dry interview.
He's a very dry guy.
He doesn't give you much. He doesn't volunteer a lot of stuff.
No.
He doesn't. He never talks about what a great life. You think he'd be enthused that he's got $1 billion and he's banging Calista Flockhart, and he's just real mellow about it. And
yeah,
whatever. But he didn't come on. That's what I expected from him.
He's likable but boring.
Okay.
But then she had Ellen Page. And you want to talk about Regis being old and out of touch?
Yeah.
Boy, does Barbara not know what's going on.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And she's got that stupid show, The View.
Right.
Where she's, oh, I am the queen of The View.
Right.
And she's got her pulse on women's issues.
I guess so.
She's got her finger right on the heart. And she just, like, Ellen Page is like, she's, what? Barbara's 70, Ellen Page is 20.
Yeah.
What kind of conversation are they going to have?
Well, it was a bad conversation, but, Ellen Page doesn't have much to say, okay, for one.
Right.
Barbara Walters doesn't even know what to ask, what Ellen Page might be interested in at all, or sort of,
right.
you
doesn't,
know. And it was,
doesn't have the remotest
they
notion of her world.
Neither of them, Ellen Page couldn't have given a fuck less about Barbara Walters. And Barbara Walters tried to make Ellen Page interesting, but she's not, she wasn't going to be like Drew Barrymore and sit around and, suck dick like she does about how everything's wonderful and she's in love and... But first of all, Ellen Page, if we can just get to the show, and I'm going to say this, and I read this somewhere, and I'll even tell you where I read it because it's not me, but apparently she's a lesbian. I'm not going on. I mean, I've read that somewhere from a
say blind item.
No, it was not a blind item. It was a credited item on it was on a blog called JJ's Dirt. He's kind of like a
Parisian
guy.
Oh, well, no. Came from JJ's Dirt.
But JJ's a guy who
clearly.
But JJ's a guy who used to be like a TV reporter and stuff, so he's got a little bit of credibility.
No, he doesn't. He's a celebrity blogger.
No, but he's a guy who was on TV. Is like he's like your
so
who's the guy who's the half black half white guy? He's like that guy. He was like that guy.
I wouldn't believe shit he told me.
Well, no, but if he that's his background is he's a television background.
Those guys
he was an entertainment reporter on a TV
station.
You've
met television reporters. They're stupid.
No, but I'm saying he's saying it. He's putting his name on it. It's not a blind item. And he's the one that said that she was a lesbian.
Last year.
That's what I'm saying.
At about this time last year.
Why are you all offended?
Perez Hilton, the biggest celeb blogger, swore up and down that Fidel Castro was dead.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
but this guy is a guy who was on television. He was a reporter on television. He wrote a blog.
Well, if it's on the TV, then it's
all
right
with
me.
No, but my point is that this is a guy who is a legitimate reporter. He's not a blogger.
Yeah.
He has a blog in which he blogs, but he does have
he's a legitimate entertainment reporter.
Whatever. Right. But he's reporting this. Okay? I watched
the show. I've never read anything that claimed Ellen Page was gay.
Well, I can show you where he said it, if you'd like. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Whenever I talk about Ellen Page or Juno, you get your panties in a goddamn bunch.
I just
I know she walks
on
water.
I just find it funny.
I know Juno is your holy fucking Bible, but let me finish my story. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Barbara Walters in the interview, she never talked about guys. It's almost like they were dancing around the issue, which she said that she might want to get married or have kids someday, but they danced around if she had a boyfriend. Like, that subject never came up, which, again, was kind of odd, and maybe Barbara Walters felt that was odd, too.
Mm.
You know, she was sitting with a girl at the Oscar ceremony. I saw that. You know,
right.
Her dress wasn't the remotely what you would think an Oscar glamour dress would look like. In other words, it wasn't anything that I found that a man would find appealing. So, I mean, there's a lot of smoke there. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
And I thought that hurt the interview, that Barbara Walters had to dance around this issue. That's all.
Well, what I thought hurt the interview was Barbara Walters asking her to sing a song.
Well, no, she talked to her about the... She asked her about... You didn't see this part because we talked about this already before. She asked her about you. She's like, I heard you chose some of the music in the movie. And she said, and Ellen Page says, yeah, I did. And she said, you picked the Moldy Peaches. And she goes, yeah. And she goes, we had them on The View, and I don't get it. That's what Barbara Walters said. That's because you're a dinosaur. That's why you
By the way,
get
the Moldy Peaches on The View was a terrific bit of television. I have the clip of Ellen singing.
Okay, well, hold on one second. And then she goes, I don't want... And basically, she didn't want to sing... And she goes, can you sing a little bit of it for me? And, like, why would Ellen Page be forced to sing a song?
It's not like she's it's not like she's a singer.
But she kind of threw her a bone and said, well, if I had a guitar, I could sing. So by the time – and then, you know, she riffed on the Moldy Peaches.
Yeah.
Which, of course – and then Ellen – when Ellen defended Moldy Peaches, she said, like, she's like, look, I think it's really honest music. And that's kind of the way I feel about it, too. We played them years ago on this show.
Sure.
Before any of this shit went down, and we went to the concert in 2001 or whatever it was. I mean,
we're big homos for the Moldy Peaches.
But, you know, and it's like she said, she gave a completely honest answer that Barbara couldn't relate to.
We have embroidered Moldy Peaches shirts that we wear to bed sometimes.
No, we don't do that. But she, you know, she gave an honest answer, and Barbara Walters just didn't give a fuck. And then she's like, well, can you sing it for me? So Ellen Page starts singing it. I guess you've got the clip. Go ahead and play it. But she, Ellen, they give her a guitar and she plays it. She doesn't even really play it the way, she's playing chords instead of the way that, you know. I think it's more of a pick song the way Adam Green plays it, but anyway. She's doing it, but Barbara starts singing along at one point, and it's like, why? If you hate it, why is she singing it?
This is, wait till Barbara comes in, it gets good.
There's Barbara singing. All right, that's enough of that, please stop. I feel bad for Ellen when I hear that. I really do.
I'm like, why would you do that to her, though? She's an actress.
Right, and like, would you sing if you had, and it's like she sings because she doesn't want to be a bitch, I guess, but I don't know. I mean, it was.
She's also 20.
She's 21 now. They were talking about she had her birthday.
But she's real young.
Yeah.
And probably not real sure of herself. She hasn't really, she's only made a few
Right, movies. And you know what, honestly, and my vibe is that I don't, you know, I mean, I honestly feel that Ellen Page has a very bright future in television. And, I mean, I know that's an insult in its own way, but I just don't, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't get it, really. I mean, I feel like,
you're a dick.
She played like a bratty kid in a movie, and you know, I mean, and that's another thing about how she didn't win. And even though you and I predicted she would win, when I thought about it, I go, you know, a 20-year-old hipster playing a 16-year-old hipster ain't that big of a stretch. And so I kind of felt like, yeah, maybe she didn't deserve it, and maybe there was some of that. But anyway, that was the pre-show, and I'm sure Corey thinks I'm a dick, but I don't really care.
Oh, Well, no, I think you're a dick for a lot
of
reasons.
I'm having an opinion, and God forbid I do that.
No, that's fine.
I mean, whatever. I mean, I didn't say anything. You know, I think she's probably a lesbian. I think that's I'm sort of believing that.
I had never heard any of that, dude.
Well,
You're willing to by the way, you are willing to buy tabloid news stories all the time.
I don't know.
Blind items and that's gospel to you.
No, it's not gospel to me, but I think sometimes they're interesting. There was a lot of you know what? Can I do this for a second? Do you want to hear we'll do this after the break. I went back and I searched the blind item archive for Heath Ledger items.
Yes.
Things that were credited to Heath Ledger years ago, and they were all about what a drug addict he was. So there you go. Now the guy's fucking dead in the ground. But I'm a dick. Okay. Let's continue with my review. Enchanted has the worst music I've ever heard in my entire life. I think we can all agree on that. They had to sing 3 fucking songs from that on the show.
Yeah. There were no other songs worth nominating?
I guess not. There were 3 from Enchanted, and then there was... the song that won from the movie Once,
yeah,
which is the guy from The Frames and some chick from Serbia or something.
That was really nice.
Yeah, and then
because they cut her off when they won. He was like the most Irish guy since the Lucky Charms. Leopard.
Well, yeah, they're.
I did the tour when they were in town. I met them. They were cool.
Okay.
But yeah, he's like, thanks. you know, yeah. I never thought I'd be up here winning an Oscar. Right. So Irish. Then they cut her off. And then after the commercial, Jon Stewart brought her
back.
Jon
Stewart felt bad, but at the same time, you know, they cut off a bunch of the guys from film editing and all this crap. Yeah. And, you know, I think it was one of the sound guys. He literally walked up to the mic and they were out of there.
But that was nice. I'd never seen them actually do that before.
Whatever. But you know what? The show also ran 40 minutes over and, you know, we didn't need that either.
What I'd like to know, why did sound editing and sound mixing need to both get fucking Oscars?
Well, here's the thing. Well,
that was 7 minutes of my life that could have gone.
They are two different jobs, actually. But the thing with that is that they try to put those people. That's the one night those guys get any acclaim at all.
Right.
And so, you know, they have to give them time. But what I don't get in that is, like, why not just block out the time for the people to give their speeches and cut down on all the shtick that the people do before they read the names?
I hate that.
Yeah, I know. So anyway. Continuing, The Rock was on there giving an award for something. And it was weird that he now goes by Dwayne Johnson and he doesn't want to be called The Rock. And I have a feeling a lot of people don't know who Dwayne Johnson is, so he's got a little bit of an uphill battle there. But you're next skinny too, Rock, but good. Get off the gas. Good for you. The guy grew tits and stuff from being on steroids.
Yeah, he was massive.
He had problems. Renee Zellweger, still ugly. Okay, that's I could have saved my notes from last year.
Haircut was bad.
She's weird looking. She's odd. She did something to her face.
It was not a good haircut
for
her.
Odd. She's squinty. She's just weird looking. Yeah. They were replaying a lot of old clips from the Oscars, and they replayed, you know, like the greatest moments in Oscar history. And the Cuba Gooding speech when he won for he won for Jerry Maguire. He won for?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he put on the thing where he didn't want to get cut off. The orchestra was playing, and he just yelled over it. And everyone was rooting him on and encouraging him. And he made a real big spiel. And that was one of the things that you watch the Oscars for. But it kind of seems like it kind of bit him in the ass because now he's out of show business in a sense. You know what I mean? Like,
what are you talking about? He just made Daddy Day Camp.
That's
Come
what
on,
I mean.
That's what.
Like, it's funny that, you know, sometimes the people who win and, you know, lose their shit, like Roberto Benigni and Sally Field gave the big thing about how everybody likes her. And
Sally Fields had a decent career.
I mean, that was the end of it. That's what I'm saying.
That was the end of her Oscar quality career. Yeah.
And, you know, Halle Berry, when she broke down and was bawling and stuff, it's kind of like, yeah, I think there's people in the Academy that sort of resent that. Like, it's kind of like one of those things, like when you get up there, you should act like you've been there before. They always say that about people who win stuff.
Well, there's
like, act like you won it before.
They're just real fluky sometimes where,
right.
You know, Marissa Tomei got a goddamn
right,
Oscar.
Right, right.
You know, I mean,
but sometimes I feel like these people who act a fool up there don't ever get. You know, there's a reason that no one wants to be embarrassed.
No, the reason is that Cuba Gooding has just sucked since then.
Okay, well, whatever.
He hasn't made a good
whatever it's for. Maybe it's some cosmic thing. Well, he was in As Good as It Gets, which was a big movie, but you know that got acclaimed.
All right, I'm going to briefly look at the Cuba Gooding. He was in Jerry Maguire, then As Good as It Gets.
Right.
Then What Dreams May Come, which
was a movie that people thought at least had some credibility.
Right. A Murder of Crows? Who's heard of that?
Yeah, exactly. And it's all over for me. It's all downhill.
And then it starts to go downhill with Men of Honor.
Yeah.
That was like him in a diving helmet.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Rat Race.
Yeah.
Now we're hitting the dirt. Snow Dogs.
Yep.
Boat Trip.
Oh, yeah.
The Fighting Temptations.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah.
The movie about the retard with the football. Oh, yeah, Shadowbox, just nothing but shite from there on.
But I just found that, interesting. It seems like people that do carry on, though, they never come back, and I wonder why that is. Anyway.
How come Paul Giamatti hasn't won a goddamn Oscar?
I don't know. He's been nominated for a bunch of stuff.
That's a guy who should, I mean, Cuba Gooding's got a goddamn Oscar on his mantle.
All right, this one was, to me, the biggest news of the Oscars was Jennifer Hudson, who won last year for Dreamgirls.
Yeah.
Speaking of being out of show business.
Good night. Enjoy that.
First of all, she showed up with, I swear to God, she must have borrowed Aretha Franklin's arm from the Grammys. It's a big, fat arm with all kinds of stretch marks and cellulite on it.
Aretha Franklin, she borrowed Aki Bono's arm.
I don't know what she got
me?
This arm from.
She looks like she just won the...
And then she gets up there, and all she's got to do is like give a little speech and read. It's like by herself, she's up there trying to give away... award, and she can't read these names, and it's like, how are you an actress?
Yeah.
Like, you can't even read these list of names and sell. the best actor this year. It was like a real simple thing, and she was terrible. It's like she's completely out of show business.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to end up on the CW doing, you know, Who My Daddy Be sitcom or something.
Well, she
you
can
know
star
I mean?
In movies with Cuba Gooding Jr.
She's going to be in, you know, two Fridays from now or whatever they call the next one. You know what I mean? She's going to be in, her and Monique will be fighting for screen time. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's fucking horrible. All right. They kept shooting Hal Holbrook during the ceremony.
Oh, God. Well, because they wanted to make sure he was alive.
And I didn't realize this, and you confirmed this for me later, but he's actually married to Dixie Carter from Designing Women.
Yeah.
Which was funny because he must have got her when she was like a young young and fresh.
I don't know how young and fresh she was.
But how old do you think she was on Designing Women? Like 40? And that was 20 years ago, so he would have been 60, and she would have been 40. So he could have been 50 and she was 30 maybe when he got her. I don't know. But yeah, I found that interesting because I didn't, you know. At first I thought, hey, Dixie Carter's a seat filler. She's really taking a hard fall. But turns out she's married to Hal Holbrook. Javier Bardem spoke Spanish in his acceptance speech, which was like, you know, that was kind of a dick move. Not letting everyone hear your speech.
Well, the last, like,
his mother enjoyed
couple
it.
Seconds.
Yeah, but he said, oh, thank you very much. And then, andale, arriba. That's what he said.
Oh, come on. He's from
speak fucking English.
The guy's from Spain.
I know, but speak fucking English. You're in America, dickhead. There's a whole movie where he speaks English. Then he can't even speak English for 2 goddamn minutes in a goddamn speech. Fuck you. Speaking of fuck you, Jerry Seinfeld has a B. Fuck you. I hate
this. God, this mic.
Yeah, well, it's okay. Maybe we'll switch that up.
I thought we were done with the goddamn B movie.
It came back again.
No, we got to get more B movie.
They did the scientific and technical awards, and they always bring out a hot chick who like hosts that. It's like a dinner the day before or something. And they had a pregnant Jessica Alba, whose tits looked like they were falling out of her dress, and that was pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I got to give that some props.
Who, you know, God, Christina Aguilera's tits. Speaking of pregnancy.
Yeah, there was some. She did some. She
those
did some
are
press
the biggest
a couple
boobs
weeks ago.
In,
yeah,
in Boobtown.
Yeah, after she had her kid, her tits swelled up, and
they're gonna remake Lifeboat with her, starring as the boat.
But she wasn't on the show. We'll have to get to that in a minute. Then they introduced Dame Judi Dench.
Yes.
And Halle Berry, and out came instead of them Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill.
Yes.
From Superbad. And
that was a funny bit.
And that they came out, but, you know, they neither.
Isn't that usually the bit done by Will Ferrell?
That's usually Will Ferrell and Steve Carell or something.
Well,
I think they did it last year.
Had a bit earlier.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think they did that last year. Didn't they do something with John McGinley and Will Ferrell and him?
Steve Carell's bit was okay.
He did okay. I thought he kind of flopped a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't. He didn't write it, so who fucking knows? I didn't even write that down as being, you know, newsworthy, but Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill, and I just immediately thought, I was like, oh, it's me and Corey if we ever got on the Oscars. That's what we would look like up there. Completely out of place.
Well.
And, you know.
You know, I want to just applaud the return of the Jufro.
Yeah.
Those two guys had the Jewiest Jufros.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Right.
And as Amy said, if those guys had been popular when I was in high school, I would have been knee deep in tail.
You think it would have helped
I
you?
I could have really ridden that.
But you know what?
Like,
you had no money.
I'm like the guy in Superbad.
Yeah, but it's
I don't
really think it works that way.
You don't think
I'm
so?
I'm sure if we found a kid in the Jufro, he's still getting beat up on a regular basis. I don't know that that's really changed, but John Stewart, when they came back from commercial and he was playing the Wii, was kind of funny.
Yeah, he was playing Wii tennis with the little girl that sang the song from August Rush.
The guy from the Frames, I guess he did it because it was in the movie or whatever, but like he had to like play the guitar with the holes in it. And
that's
kind of like
that's his guitar.
Yeah, but
yeah, it was a guitar he had on tour with him.
You're at the Oscars. Get a fucking guitar with him.
You know he's an Irishman.
Get a guitar with him.
That's
fine.
It's me guitar.
Anyone will. You can get a free fucking. You know what I'm saying?
That's I know, but the guy had that guitar when I saw him.
But you could
on
call
tour
up Martin and get a fucking brand new acoustic guitar that they would gladly give you to use on the Oscars. And you won't have to play guitar with fucking holes in it.
I know
it's your character in the movie, and you're trying to give
it's
some
credit. The guy's guitar. He walks around
some
with a guitar.
Some guys are weird about the guitars. They only play certain guitars.
And
but
that's, he is, apparently.
It's the Oscars. Yeah. You got to get a different guitar. So I'm sorry.
Thanks for your advice, Joel, but I'm going to play me a guitar.
All right, well, you're never coming back, you dick. You're going to be back on the street corner with your dumb
guitar. He will. That's because, come on, that's a once in a lifetime.
Okay, just, I know he's trying to have some credibility and not look like he's selling out, but it's okay to have a nicer looking guitar for the Oscars. It's okay. I mean, no one would have been offended. Would anyone have been offended if he doesn't show up with the guitar and the holes in it? No.
It's his, you know what? That's a quirky little thing. That right. He's a musician. That's
just get a new guitar.
That's
okay.
His guitar, you know. I like it.
But just get a fucking new one.
Well, I could tell
play
you.
Play wherever you want.
I could tell you to get a new woman, you know. But you,
I'm getting a new
he
woman.
He was so Irish. He is. No, he's the most Irish
he was
guy.
A nice guy. He came off well. They gave the honorary Oscar to a guy named Robert Boyle, who was an art director. And I guess he did a lot of Hitchcock movies, so I guess I do have, you know, I've seen this man's work over the years. But
yeah.
He gave... He,
I'm looking desperately for a sound effect of a crypt opening.
You know, he comes out, and he's the oldest fucking guy you ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives this long speech about, and then Hitch introduced me to the scriptwriter, and she ended up being my wife. And, you know, and it's just like all kind of
you
old.
Know, Grace Kelly was beautiful, but yeah, sometimes she'd eat broccoli from the commissary, and, ooh, that woman could fart.
I was just fast-forwarding, and I'd stop, and he'd be like, and one night at the Brown Derby, Spencer Tracy and I are having a glass of scotch. And it's like all these old Hollywood anecdotes, and everyone's dead, and they keep cutting to his family, and his family's not even like, they don't even seem thrilled that he's up there. Yeah. They're like, all right, just wrap it up, Pops. Anyway, so he got the...
Playing golf with Sal Zance and Daryl Zucker, and... He pulled his nuts out and teabagged me right in the seventh green.
If it was only that entertaining.
It was the oldest man. By the way, I know everyone's been riveted for the last 5 minutes. Hal Holbrook and Dixie Carter have been married since 1984.
Okay, so she was probably on that show.
She
was
45 at the time.
Oh, okay.
Which, not the youngest.
But how old does that make him then?
Well, he's older than her.
He would have been in his 60s then, because he's 88, I think, now is what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's 88 now, he was born in 1920, and in 1984, he would have been 64 years old.
Mm.
There's your math. Thank you very much.
Let me just confirm that. Hal Holbrook was born in 1925.
It's 25, but he's not 88 then?
That would make him
83. Okay. Whatever.
There we go.
Tom Hanks was bald, I thought, or almost.
Tom Hanks didn't look real great, and it was even more pronounced when they showed the clip of him winning the Oscar when he was handsome.
Yeah.
When he won for, like, Philadelphia.
Philadelphia was skinny, and well,
and then you're like, geez, Tom Hanks, you're falling
apart. I still like Tom Hanks, but he just looked a little bald. I don't know what was going on.
By the way, that was that speech he gave for Philadelphia was the biggest pile of, like, speechifying Oscar bullcrap.
Well, he already had the award. You know, there was no need to pile it on.
I know, but guys like to give these speeches.
And one more thing before we take a break, and then we're going to get to who won the Oscar pool and my hottest chicks. We'll do that after the break. Scott Rudin, the producer of No Country for Old Men that won Best Picture, thanked his partner, John.
Yes.
And said, honey, I love you and all this stuff.
That happened.
Which is like, you know, I actually had no idea that guy was a Mo. And then I was like, oh.
I didn't mean either.
Yeah. It was,
I had no idea Ellen
Page
like,
oh, kind of broke,
was an alleged dyke until now.
Well, she doesn't like to talk about it, apparently, but it's out there. That's what they're saying. But you know what? You're 21, you get confused, and who knows? She could be taking, you know, she could be taking Vincent Gallo's cock in a couple weeks. You never know. Shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, girls go through that. You ever hear about that? They're like, well, what's the term? Gay till graduation or something?
Yeah, right.
College
girls.
Yeah.
I think that could very well be the case.
And that could be the case with her. But I'm just saying, again.
She's very young.
All right, we're going to play more replacements. When we come back, it was a very, very entertaining and interesting. Because I had the pick here. I had the sheets of who picked who.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting how that broke down. We will tell you who won that when we come back.
Once again, gambling makes everything better.
Yeah, we'll talk about the hottest chicks at the Oscars right after this from The Replacements. So listen to this. We'll be back. Your radio is playing rather loud. You don't sound like me. Your attitude, no, not so proud. That don't bother me. I'm gonna keep on knocking. Gonna keep on pounding. I knock, I'm gonna pound, I'm gonna knock, I'm gonna kick your door down. Gonna kick your door down. We'll be right back.
goes on behind closed doors. I'm waiting inside your door. Don't answer more. And so I keep on knocking. I keep on pounding. I'm gonna pound, I'm gonna knock, I'm gonna kick your door down. Kick your door down. Yeah.
Replacements, Kick Your Door Down.
Hey now.
From their very first album in 1981. I love the Replacements. Their music changed over the years, and it didn't all sound like
that. Got a little more poppy.
A little more poppy and a little more introspective and a little more... But I like the energy of the young stuff, too, of the early Replacements.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into finally, the Oscar picks. Who won? Who lost? We made our picks with Katie Jean last week. We all picked all 24 categories.
Yes, and
I have a drum roll.
Katie Jean to sit in my lap. Of course I don't have a drum roll.
You lost, Corey. She didn't sit on your lap. But, and coming down. Well, I just feel go in order. Katie Jean picked 12 out of 24.
Okay.
50%. Corey Hall picked.
It's a long drum roll.
I know. 12 out of 24 for 50%.
Well timed.
Joel Fragamenti.
What did Joel Fragamenti pick?
We have a tie, a two-way tie with 12 out of 24. Joel Fragamenti answered and picked 12 out of 24.
Wow.
It was a three-way fucking stupid-ass tie.
I know.
For who won who. Now, the argument could come in about who really had claim to being... Even though the thing is, since we pick different names in different categories,
yeah.
If you analyze who picked who...
Now, what bummed me out is I forgot to bring my ballot with me. And I didn't have the ballot when I was
watching.
You didn't
have it. You should have made like a duplicate ballot.
Right, during the Oscar party. So I forgot what I'd picked for some of the categories.
Okay, so it started
but
out...
I did literally jump up at one point for a documentary short feature. I jumped up and was like, yeah!
The only one
I remembered
free
I picked that one.
This is what happened. Katie Jean came out. Me and Katie Jean had the most similar ballots. She picked in a couple categories, No Country for Old Men, where I chose. No, she chose There Will Be Blood, where I chose No Country for Old Men. So me and her were neck and neck all night, and you were getting crushed early on. At some point, we had eight right, and you had two right. Then you started getting some stuff right that neither of us had, like documentary short, like I'm trying to see what else you had. You had right. You had foreign language film right, and no one else did. And you had document. You had cinematography right, and no one else did.
Well,
so you rallied a little bit and came back into it. And then me and Katie Jean started missing them. So it came down to Katie Jean. You and I ended up being tied going into Best Picture.
Yes.
You blew it in a sense because you went out on Best Actor and picked Tom Wilkinson.
I took a Best Supporting.
Supporting Actor. When we all took Javier Bardem, who seemed like the early...
Pretty much a lock.
A lock, and you lost on
you
that.
Know what? That was honestly me trying to make the show a little more spicy.
Well, sure. Whatever. Bullshit. So Katie Jean, all she needed to do, she was winning going into... She was up by one. Then directing came up. We all picked No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. So then immediately you think, well, if we all picked No Country for Old Men in picture, that Katie Jean would win by one because that's what ultimately won. But Katie Jean broke the director best picture chain and went with There Will Be Blood for best picture. She lost the final category. You and I hit the last category, and we ended up in a three-way tie.
Wow.
So that's what happened with that.
Well, my hope all along was that we would end up in a three-way. That was my hope.
Katie Jean, okay, here's what happened. Is the arguments about who did a better job, Katie Jean did better in, she picked both short films correctly. I picked one of them correctly. You picked none, so that was pretty impressive. You were impressive in that you went out on your own in a few of these where neither of us picked these.
Yes, I went out and
on,
took chances.
On foreign language film, cinematography, and documentary short, and you won those all by yourself. So that was a little brave.
Well, one of the things...
And my argument for being the best prognosticator was if you took the best four, the top four categories, which would be, you would think, the easiest to predict, which would be the four actors... director and best picture. I did best in that. I got 4 out of 6. So and my argument is like the stuff like short film, it's kind of a crapshoot, and the other ones are a little more predictable. And since I predicted those correctly, maybe I'm the best prognosticator. But ultimately, we all tied. There is no winner. But
well,
we all have a little bit of bragging rights. And
we were all baffled by the fact that Bourne Ultimatum won
a lot of technical stuff where we picked Transformers and Pirates of the Caribbean and stuff.
But you know what? The more I think about it, Transformers was just a noisy mess.
But that's why I thought it deserved to win for sound, because it was noisy.
Yeah, but the actual truth is that the technical categories, everybody votes on like best actor.
Yeah.
But the technical categories are nominated by...
No, that's... Okay, they explained that on the show.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. Actors can only nominate actors.
Okay.
That's how that works. So, yeah, sound is actually, but it's voted on by everybody.
Oh, okay.
What you have here is what was voted on by everybody. But to get nominated, it's the people in that field of expertise that nominate.
Oh, okay.
That's how that works, yeah. They explained that, but you were probably having a fucking glass of wine and a slice of cheese.
Well,
but,
know,
you know,
hey.
It's fine. No, it was a,
no
it
was that, a, was, that was a boring
it
segment.
It was the guy, the president of the Academy.
By the way, that's one thing. You want to make these Oscar telecasts shorter?
Yeah.
How about we don't show the accountants from Deloitte and Touche?
They were doing shtick. Did you see that? Yeah.
Yeah, don't have the accountants from Deloitte and Touche come out and don't have, you know, some asshole from the Academy come out. No one cares.
Yeah, well, it's his one day to shine, the guy from the Academy. So.
And the guy from the Academy's got to do shtick.
And nobody good died in the those who died last year.
No.
They always do that. And, of course, Heath Ledger was the big one at the end. They saved him. But, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of notable names
you know. Now, I just thought of another admittance from this.
Who's that? Admission.
Admission. Yes. Excuse me. Admittance would be allowing someone into college, which would have helped me.
Yeah, well, I have a college degree, cum laude. Top of the class.
Yeah,
GPA. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And now you're working Barts for $12 a week.
Say
anyway,
you
fat bastard.
You fat fuck.
You!
You piece of fucking
you!
Garbage.
Donut sucking wop bastard.
But we have a candy update before we leave today.
Oh,
candy update.
I like better.
Go ahead, though. No, go
anyway,
ahead.
Anyway, what was I even talking about?
The Academy guy.
Cutting that out of the show.
Yeah, if they cut that out. Somebody who died that you didn't know.
Oh, the death montage.
Yeah, the death montage.
Brad Renfro was admitted.
In memory of.
Yes, they always go, you know, and I'm sitting there, by the way, we're having this party, and it's like, you know, we're trying to act like adults and drink wine and stuff. And they start that death montage, and I start getting giggly.
Yeah.
And cackling. And then Jane Wyman came up, and I just started screaming, I banged Reagan!
Yeah.
Like, whatever the people did, I was just like, you know, Roscoe Lee Brown. I was in Logan's Run! Anyway, Brad Renfro was not included.
Yes, he overdosed.
And Anna Nicole Smith was not included.
Did
she not die at the beginning of last
year? She died at the beginning of last year. She might have been in last year's, but she didn't really make a theatrical film.
She
made Naked
didn't
Gun.
Didn't she make
and
theatrical
stuff.
Films?
She made Naked Gun and a couple things.
I guess she was
a
just
bit part.
Too much of a
I don't know. I don't really think that she... I could see not including her.
Yeah.
Anyway. The one guy I didn't know who died was the stuntman who did the jump that Steve McQueen did in Great Escape, which is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
The guy who was
the
stuntman.
Well, how would you
know that? Well, he was kind of a famous stuntman in his day.
But, name stuntman other than...
You know, I can't even remember his name, and
yeah,
I saw
exactly.
it come up last. But he's a very famous guy, and it's a very famous stunt.
Name
so.
A stuntman other than Yakima Canute. Go.
I don't even know. Okay, go. Next up, Hot Chicks. The hottest chicks at the Oscars, and we might need a drum roll for this.
Oh,
well, first of all, Clooney's bitch was hot.
Clooney's bitch hot, yes.
Marina Cotillard, whatever her name was.
Marianne Cotillard.
Marianne Cotillard was hot.
I still don't quite know who Clooney was with.
Well, who cares? I don't think she's famous. She's probably a model or something. But okay, give me a drum roll. My hottest chicks here. Number three hottest chick. Katherine Heigl.
I'll applaud that, sure.
And she was in a couple movies. She was in 27 Dresses and Knocked Up. So she's more of a TV star, but they throw her in there. My number two hottest chick. You another drum roll for me? Keri Russell.
Oh, okay.
I've always been a fan of her.
She looked
listening.
All right,
She's now getting into the movies. Did some stuff that people like. My number one hottest chick of the night
was...
Come on.
Ruby D.
Number one hottest chick was...
Ruby D.
Number one hottest chick, and she had to sing by herself at one point, and I felt bad for her. But I thought the number one chick, and this is even, it's a weak year, but Amy Adams, I thought, was the hottest.
Amy Adams did look good. I will give that up for Amy Adams, yeah.
But I'm disappointed in even my list because they didn't give me much to work with. Here's the Oscars had.
Nobody had Scarlett Johansson with her titties out.
Right. Well, Jessica Alba had the best version of that, but she's pregnant too, so it's kind of wrong, you know.
I did kind of like the bit Jon Stewart did with the baby, like
the baby.
The baby goes too.
Yeah, the baby goes too. Yeah.
It's like who's pregnant
showing
tonight?
Who was pregnant in the crowd, and the baby ultimately went to Angelina Jolie. They did this. Oh, speaking of, to get off subject for hot chicks, when they did the in memoriam thing on the Oscars, I don't know if you caught Kimmel afterwards.
No.
It was pretty funny because they did two funny bits. But the thing I was going to talk about is that they did their in memoriam of not who's dead now, but who should be dead very soon. And it was like Fidel Castro, Ernest Borgnine, and like Uncle Frank. It was pretty funny. They did it the exact same way.
The winner of the honorary best, the honorary Oscar, Robert Broyles. Because that guy was
Yeah, I thought they might throw him in there, but that would have been a dick move. They also did a thing about how he's fucking Ben Affleck, which was funny.
Yes,
that's been all over the blogs today. Anyway, you can look that up yourself. But for hot chicks, here's my problem. Whenever they do these boring awards, like they bring out something, they have to introduce foreign film, they always use a hot chick for that. Okay? Here's my problem now. They've used the same chicks as the quote-unquote hot chicks so long, these chicks aren't hot anymore.
No.
Here's my argument. How many times have we seen Cameron Diaz give away a fucking award?
Mm-hmm.
Penelope Cruz.
Oh, Penelope Cruz.
Renee Zellweger. It's like the same. These chicks are 40 years old.
Now, you want to talk about ugly. I hate Penelope Cruz.
Me too. I think Penelope Cruz is
ugly. My God. Face
I don't like
Pinto
her
bean.
At all. Yeah.
I swear to God.
I mean, look, she makes that. Look, she'd be the hottest fucking, you know, housekeeper ever when I'm staying at the Holiday Inn. But fuck all that being a movie star. I don't give a shit. Here's my point, though. They need new pussy.
You're the most delicate man.
They need to rotate in hot pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, it seems like in years past we had Reese Witherspoon and Scarlett Johansson and what's her name?
Well, they brought in Katherine Heigl. That
Jessica
was the
Biel.
Newest blood they had.
They had, okay, actually the newest blood they had was, what's her name? I'm blanking her name. She was out with Steve Carell.
Oh, Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, okay. And that's good. But, I mean, they need to rotate. There's no 20-something actress that's hot that they can put on there. It's unbelievable to me. You know what I mean?
It's very tough.
Yeah, it's like, who? But do you have any suggestions for who they should use?
No.
I mean, no.
I don't know who, I mean, you mean like.
But, I mean, when that way they give away a award, they get out a chick who maybe she's been nominated, maybe she hasn't.
Sure.
But they always bring them out as like, this is a hot chick because we know this award is boring. But they keep bringing out Cameron Diaz every year.
Well, because you know why? Because who's the new movie star?
I don't know. You tell me, movie critic.
I mean, Lake Bell. I mean, who?
I don't know.
You know, there aren't new stars.
They can't bring out Eliza Cuthbert or Elisha Cuthbert. She hasn't.
Oh, she can't.
She's been in a lot of bad movies.
She can't even read a cue card.
The problem is a lot of these chicks have been in bad movies.
There's no new hot talent.
Yeah, well, we're like.
I mean, just bring out a Jennifer Connelly or something.
Right, but I mean, they keep bringing out Penelope Cruz every year. Like, here's the hottest. It's like, she's ugly. She's been ugly for 10 years. You've been trotting around for 10 years, and she was ugly then. Like, who's picking these bitches? It's all fags or old guys. And it's like, you know, pick. And I said this as a joke to you on the phone when it was over.
You know, Joel,
like,
I don't think anyone actually sits around and decides, let's get the hottest trim for you to enjoy.
No, but for anyone to enjoy. Now, forget about me. Okay, when these chicks, and I know it would be a long shot to bring them in, But Superbad made a lot of money. Where's the hot redhead from Superbad? You can't bring
She's
her out.
She's not coming to
you
the Oscars.
You can't bring her to the Oscars. Why not?
Well, where's like Naomi Watts?
Right. Naomi Watts would be perfect. A lot of these
Where's that? Where's she at?
I don't know if it was a...
Is everybody still mourning Heath Ledger?
I don't know. You think Michelle Williams wasn't going to show up?
No. Naomi Watts and Heath... Michelle Williams both had his dick in their mouth.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know, but I was really bummed out that there was no young... I mean, you have Ellen Page, who's 21, but it's like... You know, like I said, she didn't really dress hot, and she's a cute girl and everything. But
yeah, Ellen Page is cute, but she's not.
She's not va va voom.
She
doesn't have
body.
Yeah, she's like a you know.
Well, where was Portman?
Natalie Portman would be a good.
Where's this at? Where yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so I'm saying
was Keira Knightley even there?
Keira Knightley would be perfect.
Atonement was nominated. She
right,
wasn't even there.
I don't even think she was there.
These bitches.
You know what the fuck? Where's Kate Winslet? Where's you know.
You would think, like, if you're an actress in Hollywood, the Oscars is your ultimate, absolute, have-to-attend event.
Right.
You can blow off the Golden
but,
Globes.
But, you know, they do invite you. You don't just get to go. They have to invite you to go.
Yeah.
But I'm saying when they invite people like Renee Zellweger, who really didn't do anything of note over the last year, it's like, why are you inviting her? You're inviting her because she's pretty, and I know she's been nominated
you know what,
in years past.
This is almost the same way things happen in football sometimes.
What do you mean by that?
Ray Lewis can still get a microphone in his face.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your fame supersedes your actual playing ability or your...
No, but I think that's the thing the Oscars need to work on. I think they need to get some younger...
No,
Well, because also, this was the lowest rated Oscars of all time. They said it was like 14% lower than it's even the lowest it's ever been. And part of that, I think, was the movies, because these movies weren't big hits. And there wasn't a big movie that people cared about like Titanic or Lord of the Rings or something that we've had in the past.
I guess.
And, you know, and I think that's part of it, too. I think you know, they have Miley Cyrus as young Hollywood. I mean, fuck that. She's too young.
If that's young Hollywood, good night. Good night, everybody.
All right. So, I mean, let me...
No Charlize Theron.
None of these broads. So, anyway, that's my thought.
All right. Okay.
They need to do that. That's my suggestion to them for next year.
Yeah.
And if you need help, just email us and email at Corey and Joel Radio.
We'll give you a list.
Give you a whole fucking list.
You know what they should have had? They wanted to make the Oscars a success. Amy Adams and Isla Fisher Jello wrestle. Because that's the same bitch.
It kind of is the same
And they're
going
to have to fight at some point.
Eventually, it's going to happen.
Either make them sisters in a movie.
Yeah.
Or doppelgangers. Or just have them fight.
Well, because
they're the same chick.
I know what you're saying. They have, facially, they're very, very similar. I think Isla Fisher is a little bustier, maybe. But I think she's ultimately shorter than the other one.
Well, it's like Portman and Knightley.
Yeah, it's kind of...
They're very similar.
Six of one, half a dozen
And in
of
fact,
the other.
Knightley played Portman's double.
Played Portman's double in
Star Wars,
episode one. Okay, let me quickly get to... this isn't Oscar-related, but it's still on show business. You know, Valerie Bertinelli wrote a book.
Yeah.
And, you know...
I've had enough of the Oscars, by the way. I feel very gay. We can move on.
Okay, well, the show's almost over.
All right, good.
But she wrote a book about her life, and what was a revelation to me, and I guess you shouldn't be shocked, but we're gonna give this guy a standing ovation in a minute. In 1985, she auditioned for Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Uh huh. I know. I read this bit.
And ended up banging Steven Spielberg. And goddamn it, Steven, this one's for you, my friend. A 1985 Valerie
Bertinelli. Not only are you one of the most successful filmmakers of all time, but His list of tail is outstanding.
You know what? You weren't thinking about him, but at the same time, why would he not? You know what I mean? Like
he's
because he married Amy Irving and Kate Capshaw, who, you know, they're good looking women. But come on, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like that's making anyone jealous.
In her day, Amy Irving was a nice piece of tail.
Okay.
Now you know who.
But
else?
Valerie Bertinelli, when she was like whatever she was, 19 or something. I mean, fuck. Fuck, that was hot.
Well, you know who else he got when she was top?
Who's that?
When she was top shelf. And it's in that book, Easy Riders, Raging Bulls.
Yeah.
Victoria Principal.
Okay, that's
when
good,
she
too.
When she was at her height. You know,
way to go, Steve.
Yeah, because there's a chapter about, what was her name? Margot Kidder.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Salt.
Yeah.
Had a beach house.
Right. Yeah,
people would come and party.
They also did a TV version of the book, and I've seen that.
Yeah.
With all the stories.
Yeah. They would and that was where everybody Brian De Palma and Coppola and all those people would go and hang out and party.
Yeah.
And they were like, Spielberg was clueless. He would wear black socks to bed. And like Margot Kidder was trying to teach him how to pick up chicks.
Yeah.
And then suddenly he made Jaws and was hot.
Right.
And came over with like Victoria Principal, and they were all appalled that he brought like this bimbo over.
Hey, man, that's what that's.
But
what,
I say good for right. him.
But I mean, Valerie, but I mean, 85, he was well established at that point. I mean, he had already done E.T. at that point, and he still went after that. And I'm like, damn, that was some good stuff.
Well,
I mean, Valerie Bertinelli, I mean, you see her now and you go, "What's the? Who cares?" But boy, Valerie Bertinelli
in her day was
tremendous. I mean, she was the equivalent of God. Who would you? Would she? She would have been, and I'm not exaggerating. She would have been, and I'm a little older than you, but she was the Jessica Alba of her day. That's what we're talking about.
Well, she's a big TV star.
Yeah. Well, Jessica Alba's a big TV star.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? She was that. She was caliber of hot chick.
No, I remember she was on like Teen Beat and all that crap.
Yeah, she was the hot young ingenue of the day, and damn it, that was good. So yeah, she talked about how she banged him. And,
no, I gotta somewhere get a definitive list of Steven Spielberg's content.
Well, I don't know that you'll ever get it. See, but I think if that was the move, though, if that was the move to like, I'm gonna audition Valerie Bertinelli, who was not a great actress, and God for thank God he didn't put her in that fucking movie.
Yeah,
but. You know, what a great move to, like, just bang the chicks you audition. I mean, it's tremendous.
That was 82 she was auditioning for.
Was you know she, what? I heard it was 85. I saw it on Extra. Now, 85 might have been, she might have been up for.
Was she up for the Karen Allen?
I heard it was 84.
It would make sense for her to be up for the Karen Allen part.
She would have been more up for, yeah, maybe that was the case. Maybe I got the date wrong. But I think on Extra they said 85, but they're idiots on there too. I mean, you know.
The
guy from Sugar Ray is telling the story.
I mean, 85 is ancient history to people on
right.
Extra.
They because they would have already done the second Indiana Jones by 85, so that doesn't make sense. But anyway, she says she auditioned for the first Indiana Jones, which would have been 81.
81?
Yeah, 81, 82. So it would have been before E.T. But still after Close Encounters and after Jaws.
He was already big.
Yeah, he was a big time guy then. So,
and she was nice.
And you know what? And good for him.
She just came off One Day at a Time.
Exactly. Way to go, Steve.
Wow.
Now, good work.
How come Lucas never got any of this pussy?
You never hear about Lucas's trim, but you know he got some.
Yeah, Lucas is the most low-down guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I just want to raise my kids.
But he's like a single dad and stuff. Like
wear my flannel shirts.
His wife left him, and hang he's out just and like, I raised my kids by myself.
Two of my drag racers.
Yeah, so he's just a very mellow guy like that, so yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, good for him. Well, you know what? If he was busy getting laid, he wouldn't have been writing Star Wars.
I guess that's true.
You got to thank him for not getting laid.
You know what? You can't be writing Star Wars if you're getting pussy.
But Spielberg
wrote
a lot of...
You can't be sitting there talking about, and then Obi-Wan Kenobi used the Force to distract me.
Hey, but, you know...
Stormtroopers.
Spielberg wrote a lot of good stuff, and he was getting laid. So,
I guess.
I mean, you know... But Spielberg seemed like he was married to Amy Irving. Then he was married to Kate Capshaw, and there didn't seem like there was a time he wasn't.
No, he hit it.
Hitched up with something, but I
guess
there was.
He hit some stuff in between. Victoria Principal.
Good for him.
Valerie Bertinelli, good work.
All right, can I quickly give a candy update, or do you have anything else?
Yeah, well, sure.
No, but, you know, we had a Steve Brewer on five weeks ago. I don't know how long ago.
Well, good show.
Good show with Steve. If you missed the Steve Brewer show, go listen. It was very fun. And I was working with Steve this past week, and we did a gig together, and he goes, because I got to tell you something. And I go, what's that? He goes, you know, you and I had a big fight on that show. Mm-hmm. You ate a Crisp Crunch.
Yes.
My favorite candy bar. And I had a few of them in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And you ate one. And you know what? They're up.
You know, Joel.
And you know, there's more of them up there now. And you're going to eat. The other side's open, fuck.
Oops,
you're going to eat another.
Well, Joel, it's about protecting your assets.
You're going to eat another Crisp Crunch.
Oh, no.
So Brewer was just sitting there egging me on as you're eating a Crisp Crunch in front of me. And if you don't understand, those are kind of a hard candy bar to get. I think they might not even make them anymore. They were kind of, I saw them like last fall, and, you know, I still get them at Kroger in these weird little 8-packs.
You find a source?
No. But Brewer goes, you know what? He said, you were sitting there yelling at Corey. And I told you on the show that I'm going to go to a store and buy you a case of Crisp Crunch. And he says, and in the last month, I've been to about 10 different grocery stores and 7-Elevens and gas stations. He says, and I cannot find the fucking Crisp Crunch to save my life. And I go, do you understand a little bit now why I was yelling at Corey? And he goes, you know what? If the candy bar, he said, I never had the candy
bar.
If it's as good as you say and it's that hard to get, I completely understand why I fucking yelled at you that day. So Steve Brewer is sending his condolences, his apologies. He's taking it back and saying, yes, the Crisp Crunch is a rare candy bar.
But you've obviously found some more.
I found some at the same place I always find them. Oh. But, you know, I managed to buy a few because they were on
sale. Have you thought about going to, like, Odd Lots?
You know, I haven't decided. I haven't put that much work into it. As long as my Kroger has them, I'll continue to buy them there.
Okay.
But as long as you continue to eat them, I'm going to have to find a new source, you fat fuck.
That's a good candy bar.
So anyway, Steve Brewer just...
Yeah, left them right in my...
He wanted to apologize for the Crisp Crunch and say that he was sorry that he thought it was very trivial how upset I got about it. And, you know, ultimately,
I was right. It was pretty trivial, but...
Well, whatever. It makes sense now, though.
No, this is the struggle I've had finding Toffee Fae on occasion.
Right. We've tracked down a quality source of Toffee Fae, though.
By the way, speaking of obscure candy,
yeah,
a real bummer to me because I only recently started like actually going to this store.
What's that?
Cost Plus World Market is closing.
Are they closing all of them?
They're closing the ones in Detroit.
Wow.
The Novi is liquidating.
Wow, I loved that big almond candy bar I got there, and it's probably gone.
You can go and get. They've got all kinds of like German chocolate and.
Yeah, I heard they were closing, but I didn't know if it was like all of them around here.
If you want some Jaffa Cakes, if you're a real Brit dork.
And they had all kinds of weird imported beers and stuff. I bought some good stuff there.
We should make a run over there and clean that place out.
You know, God damn it. It's this goddamn fucking Michigan economy. It's horrible. Killing us, man.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Hollywood Video's going under.
Yeah, but that's a nationwide thing, I think.
Is the whole Hollywood Video
Hollywood's in trouble, yeah, in general. So.
Wow.
Anyway, it's a bunch of shit, man.
The internet ruined everything, didn't they?
Whatever.
You know, now, granted, I can see Lindsay Lohan's vagina in about 9 or 10 nanoseconds, but it's hurting people where they live.
There was a documentary, a locally produced documentary, about the end of the record store that was on PBS this weekend.
Oh, really?
It was actually specifically about a store in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, and another store that was in Alma. But they were talking about the end of the record store.
Well, it's a bummer.
It is a bummer, and I sort of agree with them. And their defense was that it really, while they did blame consumers for downloading, they ultimately said it was the record labels who fucked over the record store, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But I also sort of say that, you know what, some of those record stores were real elitist bullshit places anyway.
Well,
and a lot of those guys that worked there were assholes, and I don't really feel all that bad.
There's a difference between market adjustment and the death of record stores.
Right. But they were saying since 2003... This movie was made in 05 or 06. It was the end of 05, beginning of 06, and they made it. At that point, half of the independent record stores in America had closed already. And I would think probably another half of those have closed. So we're down to probably, you know, 20% of what was around a decade ago.
Or absolutely.
15 years ago, probably.
Well, what you're really doing is you're hurting the employment of 16-year-old kids that don't want to get a job. I worked in record stores as a kid, and I'm nostalgic for it. I bummed out about it.
Right.
There are still record stores open. I went to one the other day. There's a place called Street Corner Music.
Okay.
That an old friend of mine works at.
Where is that at?
That is over on 13 in Southfield.
Okay.
And you wouldn't know it. It's over by the Borders.
I don't even know where that is.
It's in a strip mall that you would never know. Right.
I never go that way.
And they've decided kind of specialized in like R&B and soul.
Yeah.
And oldies.
Well, the guy did say that in the special, they said that it's college kids buying rock that is over at the record stores.
Yeah.
That it is, like, you can still sell jazz and bluegrass and stuff classical in record stores because those people will still go.
Yeah.
But it's, like, the younger people who are using their computers to download that aren't going anymore.
Well,
because, you know, this guy was in a college town, Mount Pleasant, where Central is.
Right.
And, he was saying, no college kids come here anymore. They interviewed a bunch of college kids, and they said...
And that store is different from what it used to be.
Yeah.
It's always had vinyl.
Right.
But now it seems like they've kind of, like I said, they made a move more towards R&B and, like, old soul and stuff.
Yeah. On vinyl.
On everything.
On everything. Okay.
But
you can still find other stuff. No, I agree with you about, you know, stores close, and that's certainly... but you know what? At the same time, you know, no one's... listening to less music now, so in a way, it's a yin and a yang, you know?
You know, people are...
You know what? You can look up shit on your computer that you used to have to go to the library and look through an encyclopedia for.
Sure.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing. And I kind of feel like music's the same way.
I am 2 clicks right now away from finding, like, some YouTube clips of Undertones songs.
Yeah.
A band, like a late 70s British pop-punk band that I love.
Okay.
That would have I would have had to look for Undertones records
right
forever.
Well, you know, it's funny because we played The Replacements today. This was their first album from 81.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading that book about how they did this, you know, this very famous show with Husker Du that was videotaped.
Yes.
The Twin Tone Records videotaped that I had never seen. And, you know, when I was really into the Mats and like the, when I was in high school and early in college and whatever, when I was really into these guys and was going to their shows, and I still am now, but when they were around, it's like I would have loved to have gotten a hold of that tape. I probably would have paid $70 from a bootlegger. I go on YouTube and type it in, and the whole fucking thing is on YouTube.
Yeah.
So I finally got to see stuff like that, and that, you know, that is certainly a boon.
Well,
so, you know.
This is the kind of, hey, there was a record store in Royal Oak that had very famously was like all boot, had all
right, I used to buy, that's what I'm saying. I used to buy, I bought replacements.
And then they got busted.
Yeah.
The feds came in and shut them down.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. I'm not even sure how that happened, but
somebody narked.
Somebody narked. But anyway,
I've got something for you.
You've got something for me.
I have a Nestle Crisp Crunch
ooh
free coupon.
Ooh.
Right for you.
But where do I redeem the I have to find a store that has them though.
Oh, it says the offer's ended.
No! You fucking you teased me.
I thought I had something.
With the free Crisp Crunch.
I clicked on something that said coupon for Nestle
yeah,
Crisp Crunch.
Yeah, fuck. All right, stop Googling during the show. That distracts me anyway. You're all not even paying attention.
I'm paying attention.
You're paying no attention. So anyway.
I'm making the show
the record
better.
Stores closed. The Oscar needs more pussy.
Record store. Dude, who's... Seriously, though, that was a great place to meet indie rock chicks.
Yeah,
and
well,
now I'm going to have to go to Trader Joe's. That's, I mean, you know.
You have to start eating healthy and going to
yeah.
Whatever. What's the other one? Whole Foods Market.
I'm going to have to eat Pirate's Booty and, you know, get some wheatgrass and shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
So anyway, thank
Whole Foods, by the way.
Yes.
Is the mother ground. Oh, my God.
You love the Whole Foods Market.
If I was not happily tied up, I would be hanging at Whole Foods.
Hitting on the clerks.
I would be by the Kashi cereal aisle. I would be...
Is that just for the chicks who shop there or the chicks who work there or what?
Both.
Okay.
The clerks and... oh, my... It's better than the library.
But and is, how do they manage to have, like, grocery clerks who aren't all, like, fat old black ladies? Because that's usually what you see.
Whole Foods must hire... It must
they
be
must
like,
just have, like, a discriminatory policy.
Yeah, it
then.
Must be like Hooters. They, they must screen the bras.
They must have a nose ring and a
yeah,
tattoo.
Yeah,
and a,
yeah. Although the Fat Jared works over there, too. So
I know, but...
anyway.
You got to have an Annie DeFranco album to work there? How does that work?
Well, you got
to
have, like, one or two guys to lift stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the rest of the... Yeah, they probably give them a test. They're like, check how many Cat Power albums do you own?
Exactly, right.
You know, really, yeah.
How many cats do you own? That's probably a question.
Well, that's probably true, right. Too, yeah.
We got to go, everybody.
How thick are your horn rim glasses?
Thank you for listening.
All right.
Corey and I have to go to Whole Foods Market.
I'm out right over there.
We'll look for see if they have Crisp Crunch at
yeah,
the Whole Foods Market.
I doubt it.
Probably not. But we're going to go. Here's more replacements. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to join us in the forum. You can join us on email at email@coreyandjoelradio.com if you want to write us, ask us a question. You know what? We would have had Katie Jean in to do a fashion review, but I didn't think it was even necessary.
We'll have Katie Jean again, and she'll review G-strings and how they look on her in the hot tub.
Sounds good to me. So
let's do it.
Get to come back for that show. Okay.
By the way, get that bonus feature. Sign up for the mailing list.
Oh, yeah. We did the fashion review of all of the Corey and Joel fans and guests, and it was very funny. So we'll catch you later, guys.
Nice job.
Good night.
Johnny always needs more than he takes. Forgets a couple chords. Forgets a couple breaks. And everybody tells me that Johnny...